This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at worldsweeper.com, and I have the pleasure today to talk to Mark Waitchi. And Mark is a president and a principal at Curb Tender Incorporated. That is an offshoot of what many people may know as the Wayne Organization, formerly. Mark got involved with the company when he was in college in the early 2000s. He took a sabbatical into other areas and came back in 2016 and is today going to tell us about how the organization got its start and where it is today. So thanks, Mark, for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks, Ranger. You know, Curb Tender was previously known as Wayne Sweepers here, and we had a transition here a couple years ago where we became Curb Tender Sweepers. Part of the genesis of why we chose to make that name change was because the company's history of products that we manufacture has always been doing its work at the curb. One of our long-standing products at our sister company, our refuse manufacturing division manufactured, was something called the Curb Tender Automated Side Loader. We thought that name was worthy of stealing and making the name of the whole company, as it really identified to all the other products that we manufacture that every day are in our cities helping to clean the streets and clean out the curb, whether it's a street sweeper or a garbage truck. We got into the sweeping business, though, in about 2007. It was the genesis of it, and in 2008, we purchased the Centurion line from Tennant Corporation. And it wasn't the best time to get into sweeping business, as you'll recall, because...
Or any business, for that matter.
Any business, exactly, as it got us into the right at the heels of the recession there. And it also, the Centurion at the time was probably the highest priced model with all of its waterless, dustless technology that had on there. Great product, quite sophisticated. While we didn't have commercial success with that model, what it did do was teach us a lot about sweepers in the industry. Tennant did a great job with their innovation, and we're able to learn the sweeping business by way of that. And what ended up happening is we morphed that model into the Warrior mechanical sweeper, essentially a decontented version that was just very rugged and durable and stripped down from some of the more complicated aspects that the Centurion had. And that's really been our mainstay ever since. One of the difficulties of our company was we expected many of our distributors to sign up on our sweeper division from the refuse division. We have been selling garbage trucks for over 50 years and automatically assumed that they would take on those product lines. But most of them had competing product lines, and so it's taken a long time to earn their trust and show to them that we're here to stay for the long haul and that we're introducing more and more products and have a lot of great value to offer our customers. So over time, we've gained more and more traction, and here recently, after we've changed our company organization and become Curb Tender, that's really accelerated quite dramatically. We've been introducing new products. We've introduced some regenerative air sweepers and are building out that line further. We've introduced a compacting vacuum leaf collector called the VacPack, which we're very excited about and has had tremendous success in all of its demonstrations. But the big reason why we've seen a catapulted increase in interest from distributors and customers alike is because we've been able to get the product out into people's hands finally. We had a different corporate structure previously prior to 2017 where we weren't allowed by our partners to have demonstrator units. So that was kind of a difficulty. They came from a different industry, and so there was some little bit of misalignment there. But either way, now after 2017, my father and I secured financing and purchased out our past shareholders and are running the company ourselves and own it now. That's really freed us up to run the business the way we feel it should be run, and we try to have as many demo trucks and stock trucks available as we can. And that experience has really allowed us to get customers into seats and show them why our product is better and show them the type of service we provide and the quality that we have. So since then, we've seen a catapult in the amount of representation we've had. Now happy to say that we're represented in 32 different U.S. states and Canadian territories. So whereas before, I think we had maybe you know, a dozen physical locations where we were well represented. In the rest of the U.S., we were more or less going direct. That's not very good for the customer, and it's not good for us either. And so we're really much in a different chapter of our company's evolution now, and we're starting to see people knocking on our door asking, hey, how do we get your line? So it's a pretty exciting experience, but a lot of that's also driven by innovation. We're willing to try new things. We're willing to go and build new products. And like I said before, we are introducing another regenerative air sweeper that will complement our Century line. And beyond that, we have plans to work on purpose-built sweepers as well.
Do you want to talk anything about your upcoming air sweeper, whether it's going to be a street machine or a parking lot machine or anything like
that? So they're all street machines. We don't have any parking lot size ones, though. Our current one is a 4.5 cubic yard unit that can kind of be used both for small municipalities and contractors alike. It's versatile. So you could use it for complexes and parking lots, but it also is very much at home on a street. The upgraded model from there that we're currently working on is a 6.5 cubic yard regenerative air sweeper.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more of your traditional municipal spec regen.
Will it be a high dump, low dump?
That is going to be a high dump,
mm-hmm.
I believe, yeah. So the engineering team has that well under control now, and they have me check in at appropriate times, but... we've got a great team. I'm very excited about the people that we have working for us. We have an engineering manager who we stole from Honeywell Aerospace, moved him up here from Phoenix, Arizona. My vice president, we stole from John Deere. He was an operations manager over there. And so we're surrounding ourselves with a lot of great talent, and they're building out that team. Right now we're in the middle of our summer engineering intern push, so we brought in 4 engineering interns from the local state universities, and they're helping add some extra firepower and help us get ahead on some of our design projects. And it's a really great opportunity for them, because it's not often that an engineering student gets a chance to work on something larger than a little widget. So instead here, they're actually part of the research and development process of an entire product line with our engineers, and you can really see them respond to that type of excitement that they get. We're at a great point in our company history. We're happy to be at the spot we are now as Curb Tender. We're operating the way we want to be. We have a great dealer network growing. We have a lot of great customers, and we have a bright future ahead of us. I'm really excited about the products we're bringing to market and the ones that we have out there doing well now.
You know, having engineering students like that come in really can bring not only the latest in, techniques and education, but really an energy level that is contagious and makes the working environment, I think, fun and as a result more productive too. So I commend you for that.
You bet.
One of the things I note that you really emphasize on your in your product line is total cost of ownership, or what you call
Correct.
TCO.
Yep.
How do you address that in your product line? What are the kind of the parameters you look for to that you feel will increase your lower the total cost of ownership to the best possible levels?
Well, the first aspect of having good TCO is to change the way you design your products. And what I mean by that is there are companies who purposely design products which will generate parts revenue. We look at ourselves as manufacturers of new trucks and new truck components. We don't look at ourselves as a parts distribution house. That's not our business. We want to make our money off of building trucks, not off of selling parts. But there's many people, not just in our industry, but others, that they design their products with the intent to fail in certain areas or to have more wear surfaces or what have you. If we have something that's a wear part, that's not something that makes us excited. We're always thinking, how can we replace that at some point and make it so that we don't have to have a wear part there anymore? We get this from our agrarian roots that we have here in Iowa. We talk about this a lot with our common values that we have, which is many of us grew up on family farms or have family members that are farming. And when you go out into the farm, your dollar that you're spending is very valuable to you. And when you buy a piece of equipment, you're expecting that to be dependable, to work for you. It feeds your family, right? So it needs to work. It needs to work for a long time. And you can't have it go down in the field for some silly reason. Well, when we're approaching our communities with the intent of cleaning them and keeping our streams clean and keeping them, our streets safe, this is a very important endeavor. And we don't feel like something should just be designed to fail in order to make us more money. If we succeed, it's because we have cleaner communities. And that's what we want to focus on, is building products that are truly going to clean our communities and make them safer and more enjoyable and livable. So we design it differently. We want things to be more robust than they probably need to be in most instances. So that's the first thing, is we try to spec up on our materials that we're using, go to that next level and make sure that it's going to last. The other thing is we take a very serious approach to, you know, who our vendors are and what kind of warranties they offer. If they're willing to offer me a 3-year or 5-year standard warranty, it tells me that they have a lot of confidence in the type of components they're supplying to me and what their life and longevity should be. So that's important to me. And we really bring that to our market. So when you have your cost of your unit, you've got your cost on the back end, and you have your cost up front as well. And we're trying to manage both sides. We try to provide people with the maximum value for upfront cost. So I'm not going to be the cheapest person, and I'm not going to be the most expensive person. But what I want customers to feel is that they have the best value for the dollar when they're buying one of my products. And then on the back end, I hope that they say, I sure didn't have to replace as much parts on this truck as I normally do on a street sweeper. That's our focus on our total cost of ownership with our street sweepers.
Well, as somebody who also grew up on a farm and was brought up, you know, recognizing the value of a dollar or maybe 50 cents, I know just what you're talking about. And part of that is buying equipment that would really last. And that's one of the things that I was brought up to recognize, is that the lowest price is typically not the lowest total cost of ownership of any product that you're going to be going with, or service for that matter, that there's a reason for that, you know, low price, or you know, there's a quality difference and so forth, and to really look for that. So I applaud you for coming on that that type of a business model. I think is very important, and it certainly fits in with, you know, where you are located in Cedar Falls, Iowa, as well. I mean, that's the kind of Midwest values and value proposition that I think we think of when we think of the middle part of the country. So,
yep.
I appreciate that. What are you seeing these days with, I noticed that your sweepers are PM10 certified, and so what are you seeing with the buying public? Are they more concerned about the environmental aspects of sweeping than they were in the past? Do you have a way to kind of have a feel for that?
It's an interesting question. You know, that's somewhat regional, and it fluctuates. But I will say, you know, having the Centurion line, which is, you know, excellent at doing dust suppression without the use of water, I can say from that standpoint that many municipalities have not prioritized the environment to the extent that they had before. You know, that was one of the most expensive models in the sweeping industry, and Tenet sold a lot of them. And in recent years, we don't sell that many, let alone get that many quotes, honestly, for them. They're just fine having a traditional water-based dust suppression system. So that's one big change I've seen, is from the first time I started getting involved in street sweepers with the Tenet Centurion line when we bought it in 08, was we had a whole lot more interest from municipalities regarding waterless, dustless technologies than we do today. We don't get that many questions about it like we used to. And I'd say 99% of our products we sell have a water-based dust suppression system that's used entirely. So that component of it's changed, but I do think that there's a lot of focus from cities to clean up the streets and keep stuff out of the streams. So I do think that has increased in notoriety. Obviously, the recession kind of threw everybody off of, you know, some of their best intentions, and the street sweeper is the first, you know, truck taken out of the municipal budget. You know, the firefighters and the policemen are going to get their equipment first, and then the people keeping trash off the streets, right? But the street sweeper, unfortunately, often gets kind of shelved aside, which I don't believe is correct to do, because we need to be keeping our entire environment, our entire community clean and safe, right? It's a good public initiative. But it's weird. You know, you have recent instances like Kansas City, for example, here shut down their street sweeping program. Now, I know there's been a big push from the citizens and even the city itself to try to find a way to get that back up and going. But the reality is it can be very expensive to keep a sweeping program operating. And Kansas City said, you know, we don't have the money for a sweeping program anymore. They shut it down. This is a big shock to the residents. And maybe an important event to have happen, because they all recognize it to be important. And so now that changes public perception that, well, we need to fund this. We need to make sure that this is a critical municipal service that's being offered. Let's keep our streams clean. Let's keep our streets safe. So I know there's been a lot of push in that city to get it restarted and find a way that they can fund it and get it well-funded into the future. You know, years ago, if they were to drop that, I don't know if you'd have that same kind of public outcry and support.
Well, that could be true. I know a long time ago, 20 years or so ago, I covered a noise ordinance that came into Boise, Idaho, and they thought nothing of just eliminating sweeping at night because the decibel numbers that they put up that you couldn't exceed really just eliminated all sweeping at night. And the public was fine with that. The city fathers and I guess mothers, you know, didn't know any different. And what we did was organized. At the time, I was a consultant with Schwartz Industries and was asked to provide some help. And we organized there turned out to be a parking lot that was available across the street from City Hall, and all the sweeping contractors in the area dumped their debris there just over the course of one weekend. And it was really an eye-opener for the public to see what sweepers pick up, and not only the quality or the quantity, but what it's composed of, and all the stuff you really want off the streets. And I note that Philadelphia is the recently had in a recent newsletter reported that, you know, they stopped their street sweeping program and now are on the other side of that, where the public outcry and the complete filth that is going on in the city, they're changing all of that. So I suspect that that'll be a go-around, comes around, in terms of Kansas City and any place else that stops. It's unfortunate that we don't have a better education about sweeping to the municipal network in the United States, because sweeping turns out to be by far the most cost-effective way of getting pollutants out of the stormwater and out of the air and so forth. And yet, as you say, they kind of are at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to you know, getting financed oftentimes. And it takes quitting a program to then find out how important it was to, you know, most people just don't have any recollection of what a sweeper even does or is, or they don't even know they're out there, so.
Yep, and I really feel like that is exactly why we are responding and focusing on total cost of ownership, is people understand and recognize the need, but there's a difference in that typically it's not generating the revenue for the municipality the way trash service is, right? You know, where they're charging each household that they pick up to have their trash removed. So there's the upfront costs, you have to be able to manage that, but they are shutting it down not because of the upfront cost of a sweeper, right? They're shutting it down because of the ongoing maintenance costs. Sweepers are a bear to keep in service constantly and keep in well tuned order. And so that's the challenge for us as a manufacturer is how do we build a better sweeper that lasts long time, that doesn't chew through as many parts, and that is affordable to operate. Because we don't want to see people shutting down their programs. We want to see our community stay clean and safe. So it's a challenge to us and one that we embrace. And it's really a big component and part of, you know, our design projects that we're doing right now.
Well, that's I think that's an excellent initiative to have, certainly. So, you know, the fact is that if people, if municipalities have a car removal, vehicle removal program when they sweep, a lot of that and will be offsetting the cost of sweeping. And that's something that I really push for, especially now when we can have apps that are emerging that can notify people of when the sweeper is approaching. And I think part of our problem that we've had with vehicle removal has long been you have to move your car for this four-hour period. And some of the most complaints I see in the news I monitor about sweeping are people complaining that they moved their car and the sweeper didn't ever show up because it was broken down or, you know, something like that. And as well as, you know, where do you go for 4 hours? I know there are apps in development where, and we're working with a little of that ourselves, at World Sweeping Companies, where you can notify your constituents. They sign up, give their address, and now you can see as a citizen where the sweeper is, just kind of like you'd see an Uber vehicle, your Uber driver approaching. And so you can, if you're there at home during the day and you have your car parked, you can go shopping during the time the sweeper goes by, and you can get another notice when it's GPS past your location, and then give tickets, you know, with the camera on the sweeper or something like that. So I think we're moving toward a better recognition of sweeping, but you're right. In the meantime, you have to make it be affordable for your customers to not only buy it, but to keep it operating and in good operating condition. And the fact is, they do break. I mean, it's a very tough environment. And the unfortunate fact is that the guys who are really good at fixing dump trucks are not particularly good at keeping the sweeper operating.
It's a tricky truck to service, right? You've got your mechanical aspects of it, your electronics and your hydraulics, and there's a lot going on there. So it can be difficult to fix for one, but more importantly, to upkeep. You have to have a good PM program, and if you're not doing a proper PM program, you're behind the eight ball every day. It's just going to get way out of control on you.
Have you seen some of your customers that have, and you don't need to talk to them about them by name particularly, but you can if you'd like, but that our municipalities that have something special going and what it is that they do that's unique that maybe keeps their equipment in better shape? Is it PM? Is it software? What is it that makes that work?
You know, there's some cool things changing in the industry with software, and we're looking at how we can incorporate these things as well. But at the truck chassis level, this is being led with your inspections and PMs, and you're starting to see it get adopted at city fleet levels as well now that they're being able to offer some of these things. But what I'm alluding to is where you have a tablet, smartphone, whatever it is, and it essentially is a guided walkthrough inspection program. And you can even put little RFID hockey pucks at certain points that the driver needs to inspect or see each day before he starts his route. And then that phone or tablet or what have you actually recognizes when they've gone to that point and spent the appropriate amount of time at that area, whether it's lubricating or inspecting or what it is. Like I said, this started first on Class 8 over the highway road tractors on the roads, but they realize this can be applied even more so for vocational equipment that has a lot of things going on, a lot of lubrication needs, and has things breaking often. So you need to catch it before it gets to a critical point that downs the truck. So we're looking at, hey, how do we incorporate that same time type of technology for our body applications? Make it easier for our user to facilitate daily inspections and have that guided through in a factory-sponsored way that shows them the best practices that we see for how to keep that truck running for a good long time. So as we start to incorporate some of that technology more, I think that's going to really help out because then you can put somebody into that role and they've got the tools that they need at their hand right away from day one for what do I got to do to keep this thing in tip-top shape. And then there's that visibility and accountability for the fleet manager as well.
And I think it's so important to have something like you're talking about, a tablet or a phone or whatever has the software to guide somebody through that, because the fact of the matter is, I've seen a lot of sweepers that have had considerable use that have a virtually new owner's manual, operator's manual attached with them when they come back as a, you know, if they're being traded in or something. You can tell that the operator's manual hasn't been leafed through more than twice during the life of the sweeper. So I think, you need to point people in the right direction and then have some verifiable way to make sure, you know, they're doing what they should be doing.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And if we can get that information at their fingertips and help facilitate and create ways that encourage them to use it rather than it just being accessible, but then to also use it. I've had one customer once before where they wanted all manuals sent to a central office for the city rather than put in the truck. And we're like, okay, well, why don't you want the manuals in the truck? Well, they'll get lost otherwise. Okay, so you have your drivers and service techs and stuff go to your central public works office that's away from your yard, and they go
in there every morning. You know they do that every morning.
They're like, well, no, but we got to have them on file for legal reasons. It's like, okay, guys, so you're not actually using them. You know, you're doing a check the box thing, and that's not right. That's not designing the program correctly. But yeah, they were taking the manuals and putting them in some back office somewhere on a shelf, rather than having them in the truck where they could be used, or providing that opportunity for the drivers to actually use them. What's that structured event? You know, how often are they required to review this information, and how do they verify that's been reviewed?
Right, and that verification part is ever so critical too. I even like to see a test now and again.
Yeah,
is a good side of it. Speaking of how something is used. Let's talk about your Vanguard. I think that's an interesting product. And how do you find that that's used? Now, for those who may not be familiar with Curb Tender's Vanguard product, it's a removable front broom attachment that mounts on whatever you want to mount it on, look like.
Yep. The Vanguard is essentially a front broom attachment, and it's quite versatile. We've designed it a plethora of different ways where it can either slide back and forth and articulate, or it can be a fixed point that just swings out into position. But essentially has the same type of hydraulics on the gutter broom as we have on our gutter brooms on our sweepers. So, all of our gutter brooms have a full tilt and hydraulic control and down pressure provided. So we take that same design philosophy to the Vanguard, so you can really get pretty creative with how you use it. But essentially it allows you to reach out into whether sidewalk or if you're on a highway or freeway system and you don't want to get that close to, like, say, a concrete barrier, you can have that operating against there, and so you're a little bit further away from it. It extends your full sweeping width. But we've had people even doing it to out in Germany was the weirdest case we had. They mounted it on in front of a truck, and it was actually spinning. They spun it really fast so that it would cut down the weeds and grass growth on the shoulders. So they were using it to burn down weeds, basically. But we've mounted them on everything from little skid steers to dump trucks to street sweepers, and it can be essentially plug and played into any platform.
Well, you talk on your website about even being able to, if you utilize it correctly, to remove paint striping. So that
you can.
I think that showcases
absolutely
the versatility that you can have with it. About how far will it extend from a chassis?
It's a good question. It's several feet. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but I want to say it's about, 5 feet, because when it stows inside, it stows right inside the width of the chassis, so 5-6 foot.
Yeah, that's quite an interesting concept, and I think something that listeners should give a thought to and take a look at it. It's on the website at curbtendersweepers.com. What else should we talk about here, do you think? What else would you like to bring out, if anything, about your organization or about your take on the industry itself?
I think one of the big focuses we need to also be considering is how to increase the safety for our sweepers. You know, this is so important. We're very conscious of safety systems due to our sister company being in garbage truck manufacturing. It's an often target with the amount of loss of life and limb and injury that's attributed to being a garbage collector, especially rear loader garbage collectors. And I think we need to start getting more creative and pushing the safety systems on sweepers. You know, we're a big moving target out there that's going slow and right in the lane of traffic. But there's new interesting technologies being developed where we can do a lot better job of sensing and identifying collision events and objects. And there might be ways that we can design enhanced safety systems that help alert oncoming traffic and help us avoid obstacles and traffic that we're engaged in as well when we're operating the equipment. I'm excited about some of the different technologies that people like Freightliner are developing and implementing, where they have active braking and collision mitigation systems on commercial trucks. I've had a chance to test these platforms when I was prior to joining Wayne and Curb Tender. I was actually a district sales manager for Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Louisiana. And when I was out there working with them, I had a chance to test some of our new systems that we were putting on the road that would take a full tractor-trailer rig to a complete stop if there was, for example, a stalled car in the middle of the lane. It'd take you from 60 miles an hour down to zero. And it was pretty remarkable, but the technology is evolving even more so every day. And how do we design those systems to work for the sweeper is really important. They already have the technology to detect objects you're encroaching on, but what we need to start doing is how do we apply it to detect objects that are encroaching on us? And then how do you more appropriately alert that car, that texting driver, whoever it is, that you're about to slam into the back of a sweeper, right? So I think that we need to come together, with our suppliers and other people in the industry and say, how can we design this? What can we do? Let's challenge it. The technology's out there. We just have to be creative enough for how to apply it.
Well, that's for sure. And adapting that kind of technology is the key after you learn about it. It was just this morning as I was arranging for another interview that I'll be doing with a company called Brigade. And I chose them. They're a safety-oriented equipment manufacturer that's international, and I thought I might get an international perspective about some things, but just with an initial conversation as we set up our interview time, they talked about their white noise backup system, and I'd never thought about there being a better noise than the beep beeps that you get with a backup, which they were telling me, well, they're not very directional, so you can't tell
yeah.
where it's coming from, and that the white noise, made quite a difference in terms of the ability to keep people safe. It reminded me, an example from my own lifetime is we used to have a skull and crossbones on containers or poisons and things that weren't any good. Well, that's for children, and that you couldn't ingest and so forth. But then over time, they figured out that doesn't make much sense. Let's make an icky face, and little kids can then figure that out, that nobody wants to eat something that has an icky face on it, whereas
yeah.
they might look at Skull and Crossbones and think, well, it's a pirate. I've always wanted to be a pirate. So, but they're bound to be, you know, we're moving so fast with our innovations these days, especially when it comes to apps and tablets and those kinds of things, that I think finding out about them, A, but then adapting them, you know, to the equipment in sweeping and getting them out there in the marketplace, I think that's a real challenge. And, you know, that's one that maybe I'm glad you have instead of me.
Yep. Well, it's a great challenge. And honestly, it's fun to be pressing on with this innovation. And, you know, we really love designing new technologies and systems and products. Engineering has always been at the core of our business. You know, previously the company name was Wayne Engineering, and it didn't get that way by accident. The company was founded about 55 years ago by a former chief of engineering from John Deere, from the Worthington family. They owned the company for many years, and ever since then, engineering has really been a focal point of our company. So we certainly take that as part of our unique identity, and it's what we have fun with. We love when somebody says, "Hey, I've got an idea." Everyone's like, "Okay, let's hear it." And that's a big part of our culture and what we do.
Well, that may be the best place for us to leave our interview. Is there anything else you'd like to bring out? I know at the end here, I know for sure I want to bring up your phone number, although that will be as well in the article, but it's 319-266-1721, and you are at curbtendersweepers.com.
Correct.
And is there anything else, or is that a good spot to leave?
No, I appreciate you having me, Ranger.
Well, I think this has been very interesting and instructive, and certainly has taught me a lot more about the origins as well as the future of curb tender sweepers, and it sounds like it's a pretty robust future from the way that you explain it. And I think too, a value is having you coming on as a, you know, a second generation with the current ownership team, and there's just clearly a lot of energy and professionalism and capability in your in your voice and your articulation of the company and the industry. So I recognize that and appreciate it, and of course wish you all the best.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.